Welcome back, folks. We're going to talk about this 4-3 decision by the Louisiana Supreme Court upholding a state law, Act 15, that abolished separate Orleans Parish criminal clerk of court office and putting it under the civil clerk. But I wanted to really quickly go through a timeline so everybody kind of understands what happened here. So elections were held November 15th of 2025. Chelsea Richard Napoleon was the civil clerk elected. Calvin Duncan was the criminal court clerk elected to take office on May the 4th. On April 30th of 2026, the governor signs Act 15. On May the 8th, the district court issues an injunction prohibiting further action on the consolidation of these offices. On May the 11th, the council declares a vacancy and claims that a new clerk of court office had been created and appoints Judge Calvin Johnson as the interim clerk of court. On May 13th, letters are sent by the attorney general to the mayor and the council saying that the presumption is that the law is constitutional until ruled unconstitutional. There's already been a stay issued. It's going to be heard ultimately by the Supreme Court. And in fact, on May the 14th, the Louisiana Supreme Court exercises or declares its jurisdiction over both suits that had been filed. And then we get to where we are now, where a decision has been rendered. And Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola, joins us. Dane, thank you for hanging with me here. The timeline, I think, is important because a lot of people are really confused about who's doing what, when, why, and how.
Yeah, and a remarkably fast timeline. Cases just don't move through the court system as quickly as this one did. And the Louisiana Supreme Court did something that was highly unusual over at least one or two dissents a couple of weeks ago by exercising its supervisory plenary jurisdiction and scooping this case up from the lower courts and making a decision in a matter of weeks rather than months or years, as is usually the case.
And even more odd was the way that it was handled while at the Supreme Court, right? If my memory serves me correct, there was not an open hearing, was there?
No, the court ordered that the hearing take place in the district court in East Baton Rouge Parish, which happened, but they ordered the district court not to make any rulings, just to create a record. The record went up to the Louisiana Supreme Court, bypassing the First Circuit Court of Appeals, another unusual procedure in this case. And then the Supreme Court considered the record developed in the district court and without oral argument issued a one vote margin 4-3 case finding that Act 15 was constitutional and effective, essentially finding that the legislature and Governor Landry validly abolished the clerk of criminal district court and transferred that office's duties to Chelsea Napoleon, the civil clerk.
I guess there was some justification, in my view, for exercising the authority and taking control over both lawsuits, because at one point in time we had the clerk of civil district court, who is now the clerk of court for Orleans, and Judge Calvin Johnson, the interim appointee, show up at a warehouse where voting machines, because, you know, kind of the backdrop to this is that we had voting, an election going on as well, that they're responsible for. And that's what you want to avoid, right, is having two individuals that have been named by two separate means.
Right, and of course, Calvin Duncan had been elected, so he too was claiming to be clerk.
So
we had three people claiming to be clerk of court for Orleans Parish. And yeah, I mean, it's almost one of those unusual Bush versus Gore situations, as we saw with the U.S. Supreme Court, is that this court, in both cases, the high courts decided, well, we need to step in and resolve the confusion.
And then in the interim, we had the AG writing a letter to both the mayor and the council looking at Title 42 relative to the usurper statutes of kind of standing in the way, possibly, of an act that had been passed that's presumed constitutional until the court rules otherwise. of Act 15 that added even more kind of backroom drama to all of this.
That and the city council acting, declaring a vacancy and calling an election. So, and again, making derogatory remarks about the attorney general making derogatory remarks about the city. Well, yeah, I think everybody just kind of lost their heads a little bit on this. And you know, yet another reason why the Louisiana Supreme Court needed to step in and definitively resolve the issues, which it did yesterday.
So if you would, for the benefit of listening audience, talk about this decision, a 4-3 decision, as you pointed out, and what some of the competing ideologies were amongst the majority and the dissenters.
Yeah, I mean, the ultimate opinion was that Act 15, which was the act that Governor Landry signed into law only a matter of weeks ago, which created a single clerk of court for Orleans Parish and then assigned all of those duties to Chelsea Napoleon, the civil court. The Louisiana Supreme Court, again, in a 4-3 decision yesterday, held that that was constitutional under the Louisiana Constitution and effective, which means the legislature and the governor validly abolished the clerk of criminal court, validly transferred that office's duties to the civil district clerk of court, Chelsea Napoleon, and therefore there was no vacancy that needed to be filled by appointment or by election. And they held that Calvin Johnson's city council appointment as the interim clerk was invalid and permanently enjoined him from acting in that capacity. So that essentially their reasoning was that under the Louisiana Constitution, there is an unusual court structure set up for Orleans, unlike the court structure in most other judicial districts and parishes throughout the state, in which we have separate civil and criminal courts and had separate civil and criminal clerks. But the Constitution allowed or essentially made those offices, quote, subject to change by law, which was the state Constitution's authorization to the legislature to giving it essentially plenary authority to change, rename, merge, or abolish those judicial offices as the legislature saw fit. And they did that, and that was lawful according to the majority.
You practiced law for a long time. That's kind of a strange happenstance, right, where they went to language of a constitutional convention where it was clear what the intent was and what they were trying to avoid, a vote of a supermajority within the houses or a public referendum.
Yeah, I mean, it was unusual. This is one of these cases that I kind of thought could have gone either way. And it wasn't, I thought, a clear, hands-down winner for Mr. Johnson. Obviously not. It wasn't for him or for Chelsea Napoleon, ultimately. It was a close call. And the close call in the law is reflected by the close vote among the justices. So three justices, including the Chief Justice, wound up in the as dissenters, essentially saying that the people of Orleans Parish were denied their right to vote for the clerk of court. And, the majority essentially said, no, they voted for Chelsea Napoleon. And as a result, they did have a Democratic voice in who's going to serve as the Orleans clerk of court.
What was really weird for me, and I don't know how much this played into, of course, none of us really know, because there was not an open hearing, you know, by the Supreme Court. And I would have loved to have heard how they were going to deal with the action taken by the city council, because what they actually did was going to end up removing two people from office, which was right. A strange happenstance as well.
Yeah, it was. But again, all that is now one day later, all that's behind us. this is one of these situations where there is no appeal or ability to go to the U.S. Supreme Court, because all of this ruling was based entirely on state statutory and constitutional law. The court did mention that there's no federal constitutional right of voters to not have offices eliminated, to preserve offices. That's very clear as a matter of federal constitutional law. So it's over. We've got finality. Now, of course, Calvin Johnson still has...
Calvin Duncan.
Calvin Duncan. Yeah, we've got two Calvins here.
Right.
Calvin Duncan still has his federal suit pending in the Middle District up in Baton Rouge. So he is, and he's gotten a favorable ruling already from Judge DeGravel that was administratively and summarily reversed by the Fifth Circuit. But that case is still pending, and he's going to have a hearing. And he's going to allege that, and he has alleged, and he's going to argue in that ongoing federal litigation that the right of the people, the voters, to vote for their representatives has been infringed as a federal constitutional matter. Now, given the way that he lost in the Louisiana Supreme Court, I think he's got virtually no chance of winning in federal court now. But that case today, as we speak, is still pending.
Yeah, you know, in the closing paragraphs of the decision, the majority said, in reaching this conclusion, we acknowledge that the timing of the legislation was perhaps unfortunate. And I would agree with that. In my monologue earlier, I said, I just think, you know, in the totality of circumstances, the public elected someone. If we were going to change this, I would have much preferred for Calvin Duncan to have served his one term and then, you know, have the legislature do whatever they were going to do and make it effective at the end of the term.
That certainly would have been cleaner, but you could certainly see the other side.
Yeah.
From a public policy and legislative standpoint, it is quite odd that New Orleans has two court systems, two clerk systems. There's really no need for that, particularly since Orleans Parish is only, 40% or 60% the size it was 50 years ago, and this is part of an effort to kind of right-size the court system and bring it into line with the court systems across the rest of the state.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting, a lot of the sideshow that went on here, the court attempted to address some of that. I think what the court basically was saying is that some of this was premature and therefore it would not have been a valid violation relative to the usurpation statutes under Title 42.
Right. Yeah. And that was all a sideshow to the main issues that were definitively resolved yesterday.
Yeah. It'd be... what do you think happens next? I mean, I got to imagine maybe in the next session there may be some legislation or something that comes forward to try and avert this from happening. That would not surprise me. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't follow politics like you do. I wouldn't be surprised by anything that comes out of the legislature, but
I'm not either.
I would be surprised if they were to do something that would accommodate what some lawmakers in New Orleans want. I mean, there seems to be this hostile theme toward Orleans Parish these days in the state legislature, and I would be surprised to see them the legislature go back to a system where we have two courts, two clerks of court. I'm surprised that we still have two court systems as aggressively as some lawmakers have been trying to merge the courts.
Yeah, it's interesting because the parallel path on the reduction of the number of judges in criminal district court, I think they kind of backpedaled on civil district court, if my memory serves me correct, in removing three judges. Your thoughts? There are a lot of folks that are saying that, you know, this is going to completely and totally disrupt the system. I'm one of those that believes, as judges, it's one of the most important roles to play in justice in this country. you got to work hard. I mean, it's not an 8 hour a day job. It may take more than that. And, you know, if you don't want to do that, then don't run for judge.
Right. Yeah, again, they've got good arguments on both sides, but the notion that the judiciary in New Orleans should be right-sized is one that is a good one. I mean, again, we've got a different situation today. New Orleans it's hard to make an argument that New Orleans really needs its own odd court system that's different from the other judicial districts. But again, people like to preserve judicial offices and don't like to see anybody, any elected officials, lose their positions.
Yeah, that would be political offices in general, not just judicial offices.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Once you create it, to take it away is going to be literally almost impossible. But they did it this time. As always, thank you so much for your time and your insight, Dane Ciolino, professor of law at Loyola. We really appreciate it, and have a great week.
Thank you, Neil.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.